My name is Jeff Arnold, and I'm pastor of Congregational Care here at MPC. And if you are visiting with us for the first time, welcome. We are so glad that you are here to join us in this season of Advent as we are marching towards Christmas. Our hope is, as Jen alluded to, this is a busy season, and we can get so caught up in all of those other things going on that we can sometimes miss what is right before us in the gift of the story of Christmas. So I hope that today and in future Sundays and perhaps even during the week that you all will be able to have time to enjoy this season and this the gift of this story for us. Well, Pastor Andrew last week kicked things off with the genealogy in Matthew so that we could take a look at Jesus' family. And we could see in that history that it was a mess. It was a mess. And in the midst of mess, Jesus is able to work and do amazing things. And I think we find that to be true for us in this story today. In the midst of things not going as we would want them, it's a great reminder and lesson for us that there are going to be times in our lives where things are not picture perfect. They are not how we hoped that they would be or hoped that they had been. And yet God is able to use those circumstances in those places to do amazing things to help us to live forward into those hard things that he is able to demonstrate God's glory in ways that we could not have imagined. So in our passage today, last week the stage was set and it was empty. If you take a look at your bulletin today, Mary and Joseph have showed up to the scene. So slowly but surely, more and more will be added to the story as we go along. And again, our tendency is to skip to the end because we know the story, but there's power in hearing that story and being reminded of what transpired and what happened in the journey along the way. As Christians, we can't read this without the knowledge of knowing the end of the story. And so that removes a little bit of the tension that might have otherwise been there for us. But I'd ask you to listen to this story this morning, thinking about Mary and Joseph and how they would have been responding to the news that they were hearing and receiving. But for us to first better understand the passages that we are going to be reading, I want to explain to you a little bit about Jewish marriage and the tradition in Jewish marriage. There were three stages or phases that couples would go through. The first was engagement. And the engagement was not a romantic proposal that you might imagine that we would see these days, but the engagement was often an arrangement by parents that felt, you know, that these two would be well suited for one another. And so a contract was entered into and put forth. And yeah, not very romantic, is it? But that was step one, the engagement. Secondly, there would be the season of betrothal. And it was during this season that was a year long where they would become husband and wife, but they would not live together with the privileges of being husband and wife. They were not able to be together. However, during this season, should one or the other pass away, the one who was still living would be known as a widow. And they were referred to one another as husband and wife during that time, which we will see in our passage of Scripture as well. And then finally, came after that year-long period of betrothal, the marriage, the much anticipated and awaited date of marriage. So in today's passage in both Luke chapter 1, 26 to 38, and in Matthew 1, 18 to 25, it is during this time of betrothal that Mary and Joseph find out that Mary is pregnant. So hear these words from Luke chapter 1, verses 26 to 38. You can find that in your pew Bible on page 830 or follow along on the screen or whatever Bible you have with you. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I'm a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Holy Spirit will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." Then the angel left her. So it's really a mess that we enter into, that Mary and Joseph find the news of her pregnancy not the way that she pictured things would be, I could imagine. But the angel Gabriel comes to her and speaks and tells her that she is highly favored, that the Lord is with her. And her response, I'm sure, is how you would respond. It's at least how I think I would respond if an angel truly appeared before me. I think, one, I would probably be shaking a little bit. And so oftentimes in Scripture, when angels appear before people, the first things that they say to those who they're bringing the message to is, "Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid." And I would be thinking, that's exactly what I am, afraid. So I would be grateful for the fact that they would be conveying a sense of peace and calm. But Mary's remarkable in that she hears these words, "to not be afraid," and then quickly she is told that the Lord has found favor with her and that she will give birth to Jesus and he will be called Son of the Most High. She has to wonder how this is possible, and so she even asks the question, "How is this possible? I have not been with a man." But what we see in her response, in her faithfulness in this passage, is one of trust, one of obedience, and one of faith. One of trust, one of obedience, and one of faith. And there are going to be times in our lives, again, where it's going to be a mess. There are going to be hard things that are before us. And yet, the opportunity we have to live into those circumstances, in the same way, with trust, obedience, and faith, is also before each and every one of us. So in Mary's response, she says, "I am the Lord's servant. May your word be fulfilled in me." So she goes and she tells Joseph, and we only can imagine what this conversation was like because we do not have a record of that. We only have the before and then the after when Joseph has received that information. But you can imagine what that was like, and I don't know that Mary went immediately to go pass on this word, but if she didn't and she had to try to rest that night before going to share with Joseph, you have to wonder what was stirring within her of, how am I going to pass on this message? How am I going to share this word? Is he even going to believe what it is that I have to share with him? So let's turn to Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 to 25. That can be found on page 783. This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after she had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. So we are going to get to hear a lot more about Mary and her story throughout the Gospels, but there's very little that we know about Joseph. In fact, most of what we know is right here in this passage of Scripture and several others that are yet to come. But we know just a little bit. We know that he was a carpenter. And in this passage, we get to learn a whole lot about his character, of how he responded to Mary's news that she shared with him, that she was pregnant, and what, in fact, he did with that news and how he responded. In his response to Mary's news, we see that he is a good man. He didn't lash out. He didn't want to shame Mary, but no doubt there was hurt within him. This was not his plan either. It was not Mary's plan. So his intent was to divorce her quietly. And so he goes to sleep, and that evening, an angel appears to him in a dream. And in the midst of that dream, as he's wrestling with this news, he hears the words to not fear and to take Mary as his wife. And so he too demonstrates trust and obedience and faith, because he doesn't just hear these words, but he lives into them of what God is calling him to do in the midst of the challenge of the circumstance. He's also told that this child is from the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God. And he is told even what to name the child. Name him Jesus, for he will save the people from their sins. This is a mark of Joseph. Again, we see trust and obedience and faith. And just like Mary exhibits these characteristics, for as young as they were, they lived into the promises that God had placed before them. Their paternal and maternal instincts just kicked in, and they found a way to live into that, which seemed like an impossible task before them. Perhaps you've experienced it before too, where those parental instincts kicked in, where you thought, how am I possibly going to be able to do this, and yet you somehow find a way. You can just start by thinking about maybe that first diaper that you ever changed, and you're thinking, how am I going to be able to do this? And yet you find somehow the strength to be able to do that. You know, in parenting, there is both excitement and fear, especially, I think, for newer parents. And I can remember when we were leaving the hospital with Jaden, and she was in the little carrier, and they were helping to load her into our vehicle. I was thinking, these people don't know what they're doing. Why are they sending us home with this child? We don't know what to do. It didn't matter how many books we had read, and we had a stack of books. All of a sudden, it's real. And there's a sense of, what do we do? But when we were there on our own with our child, we figured things out. And I think she's turned out all right, pretty okay. We didn't mess her up too much. But I have to wonder here in this moment too, for Mary and Joseph, how exponentially more there is a challenge placed before them. For they're not just told that they are going to have a child. They are going to have a child who is going to be called Son of the Most High, who is going to be called Jesus, who is going to save the people from their sins. This is the Messiah, the awaited Messiah, that is going to take the throne of the King of David to be passed down to him. So I can only imagine what they are thinking when they hear these words, and thankfully they responded in faith. But in a similar way, as they kicked things into gear, we see that Joseph also really took this to heart, because there are two other passages in the next chapter of Matthew, in Matthew chapter 2, that speak to his attentiveness to God's Spirit and to the leading of what they needed to do as parents to protect their child. So hear these words from Matthew chapter 2, 13, verses 13 and 14. Now when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Rise, take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him." And he rose and took the child and his mother by night and departed to Egypt. And then a little bit later, but when Herod died, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, "Rise, take the child and his mother and go to the land of Israel. For those who sought the child's life are dead." And he rose and took the child and his mother and went to the land of Israel. For us to better understand both Mary and Joseph and what they heard in this news from the angels, we have to understand how they would have heard the words Holy Spirit in this passage. I mean, I only know how I hear them, and I imagine that you do as well, perhaps in the same way. We have the privilege of having the New Testament. The New Testament was not yet available to them, and in fact was just arriving with the arrival of Jesus. And so as they heard the word Holy Spirit, they would not be thinking Acts chapter 2, Pentecost, what an amazing thing. But they would hear that with their ears, and they would see those words with their eyes, and they would think more in line with the Spirit of God, with God's Spirit. So with that, with their ears and eyes, the Holy Spirit was the person who brought God's truth to men and women. The Holy Spirit was the person that told the prophets what they should write and what they should say. The Holy Spirit was the one that brought to them teachings of God's truth to men and women. The Jewish people also connected the Spirit of God with the work of creation. And this is an important point to not miss. They connected the Spirit of God with the work of creation. Thinking back to Genesis and the story of creation, the Hebrew word for spirit is ruach. I can't say that without exhaling, without breath coming out of my mouth, which is appropriate because that word spirit also translates breath. That is true as well for the Greek. The word in Greek is pneuma with a silent P. Think pneumonia. Sorry, not happy thoughts. But with that, the spirit and breath were intertwined and connected. And as we think about life, when a child is first born, they must take that first breath. And for us to continue to live, we must continue to breathe. And so the picture which is here is God's Spirit coming upon Mary and breathing life into her so that Jesus, the Son of God, would live in her and be born for each of us. Psalm 104:30 says, "Send forth your Spirit, and they shall be created." Send forth your Spirit, and they shall be created. Send forth your breath. Breathe life into them, and they will be created. The essence of this story is that in the birth of Jesus, the Spirit of God was at work and life like never before in this world. In some miraculous way, the Holy Spirit used Mary to gift the world with the one true expression of God, Jesus. Breathing creation, breathing life into Mary, and in Jesus we see love, compassion, mercy like we have seen nowhere else in the world, truly. Friends, the reality of this story is not simply about Mary or about Joseph, But this is a story about God's love for the world and his longing for us to know him. About God's love for the world and his longing for us to know him. And God took the initiative here to send his son Jesus that we might know the love and grace and truth that he longs to extend to each and every one of us. The story, of course, is about Jesus even before Jesus' birth. Even before Jesus is on the scene, it's about Jesus. Jesus the Christ, the Messiah. We see that in Matthew 1:18. Jesus, the Savior. We see that in verse 21. And Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us, in verse 23. Mary is the one whom the prophet testified about. Jesus will save people from their sins. Isaiah 7:14 says, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and will call him Emmanuel." In the same way that that Spirit of God gave those words to that prophet, the Spirit of God gave life into Mary's body, that we would receive Jesus Christ for you and for me. So what can we take away from these words of Scripture? What is the takeaway for us? I think we can see the example of Mary and Joseph and the trust that they have, the obedience and faith that they display. Trust, obedience, and faith. Might we be people who are so courageous and bold to live into that, even in the midst of the messes that we find ourselves in the midst of. And again, if we're all honest, each of our lives has at least a little piece of something that is a mess. That in that space and place, we would live into the trust that we can have in God. That God has this and we do not. That we can be obedient to take one step at a time, not needing to run the entire race in one day, but to recognize that that race might just be one step each and every day of our lives. And then to have the faith that he has a plan greater than we can see. Because I promise you that we only see in part, and yet he sees in whole. So as we hear about Mary and Joseph and their journey this season of Advent and Christmas, might we not be so anxious to skip to the end, but appreciate each step along the way of this journey? Amen.